Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're talking Caroline County this morning. We've talked over the years about a number of events and things that go on in Caroline, but this is really the first time we've spoken about Caroline County government for a while. And we have a couple of guests. Nancy Long is here, the chairperson from the Port Royal District. Nancy, good to have you here this morning.
Thank you very much.
And also Jeff Black from Western Caroline is here. Jeff, good to see you.
Thank you.
And before we, one of the topics we are going to talk about a little bit later in the show is the polar bear plunge that Jeff is involved in. How many years have you actually plunged?
Oh, probably about 5 or 6 now.
Okay. Have you ever done it, Nancy?
No.
I'm with you.
I judged costumes.
I'll stand with you. After as cold as it was last year, I just thought I have no interest. We're going to get into the polar bear plunge because it is a great event for Caroline County and for nonprofits in the region too. And we'll get into that. But first, just a little kind of some business. How long have you been? What got you involved in local politics, Nancy?
I started in town politics. I live in the actual town of Port Royal. So I started in planning commission, went to town council, ended up being mayor, and then from there decided to move on to try county government. And I've enjoyed it very much. It's been my first year of my first term, and I've enjoyed it and have learned a lot being chair this year.
Boy, I bet. I know in talking to others in local government in the region, they always talk about things that there's a lot more to being the chair than a lot of us know about.
Right. And I've already warned staff that next year, even when I'm not chair, I'm still going to pop into the staff meetings because there is a lot of work that the staff does. And we're very fortunate. We've got a great staff in Caroline.
The town of Port Royal itself, it is just one of my favorite areas.
Well, thank you.
There is a lot of the history that's there is just fascinating, but it's a nice little town.
It is. We're dealing with, or they're dealing with issues, and I'm trying to help as I can. Traffic is a big concern, big push to move traffic off of 95 onto 301. 301 used to be the main street through the town of Port Royal. We have businesses, and residents have to cross the street to get to the post office. So there are issues, but the town's working through them, and I support them as best I can from the chair seat.
They do a lot of great events. There's a lot of history there. Just John Wilkes Booth spending time and going through there,
and a wonderful museum
that
Port Royal has that is open on Saturdays from 10 to 4, and also on special occasions a medical museum that is on the town green that they run.
Jeff, what got you involved in politics? Now, how long have you been involved?
I guess this is coming up on my 8th year on the Board of Supervisors. This is end of my second term. And I actually got involved in my neighborhood, Lake Landor, first, the HOA board. I was a little frustrated the fact that living in a neighborhood with, over 1,000 homes, 1,500 homes, that we didn't have access to actually, that sounds crazy in today's society, but we didn't have access to actually good internet. And so I decided to get on the HOA board to try to see if I could push that, see if we could get a company to come in to the neighborhood to lay down cable to actually modernize our neighborhood. And it just kind of went from there. We actually ended up getting Comcast to come in, and then it just kind of went from there. Like, hey, I just felt like I could do something at a higher level. So that's what really kind of pushed me to run.
Caroline County is such a unique It's such a unique locality. To me, it's very strategically located.
It is. And Caroline has a wonderful layout in that we have our growth area near 95. Then we have our more urban rural area, working down toward Bowling Green, the little town of Bowling Green. Then we have our military area because we have AP Hill right there. And then you come over to the Port Royal District, which is our resource-sensitive preservation area with the river and farmlands and all the historic houses and towns there. So there's something for everyone in Caroline County.
And it just seems where you're located, and we're going to talk about some exciting things going on in Caroline. You just look at Caroline and think there's a sleeping giant there. And I know in talking with some of the folks in King George, they are dealing with similar things, and they really don't. A lot of them talk about not wanting to grow as much as you know. You talk about traffic in Port Royal. Just some of the downsides of growth. There is something unique about what Caroline County offers.
Right, and I think that's the advantage to the planning in Caroline is our comp plan very much has indicated, and we have prepared for where the growth is should be, and where our utilities are, and so we're ready.
Yep.
You know, we're ready for people to come.
I think that's my side of the district, because we're kind of my district and Nancy's district are kind of far apart. But one of the things that I think that's important in Caroline is the western part of the Madison District, the Route 1 95 corridor. You have the major neighborhoods there. A lot of those people want the growth. They'd like to be able to, you know, shop in Caroline, and that's an issue we know that we have right now in Caroline is a lot of the money that when people have to go buy things, they have to come up to Fredericksburg, down to Ashland. And then the eastern part of the county, you know, those people kind of want it to remain rural. So we kind of got this. And I think the Board of Supervisors does a good job with splitting the both sides of the county and kind of making sure the citizens on one side of the county get what they want and the citizens on the other side of the county get what they want. So we support each other.
Which leads to the some of the projects going on the western side of the county near Jeff is road improvements. We've gotten a smart scale grant to take care of some road issues over there. And then Jeff worked on getting a fully funded project through VDOT for a curve in his district that was very dangerous. And I'll let him fill you in on that.
The curve is it's a very dangerous curve in basically the area of Childsburg, we actually had a fatality there. And when VDOT did a study, traffic study, they found that the it was very dangerous, and so we put in what they call a smart scale project, all the localities, Fredericksburg, Stafford, will put in. We have a little bit different strategy on those than other localities. A lot of other localities kind of use a shotgun approach, put in all kinds of different projects. We usually try to pinpoint and kind of go in with one particular project per year that we want. A couple years ago, that was the project, and it scored so very high that it actually was fully funded by the state, which is great.
Have the improvements happened yet? Are they
VDOT. The wheels sometimes go slow.
It's
usually about, from the time you get approved, it's usually about 6 years.
Yeah.
And as Nancy was saying, the biggest project we have is we have a project to widen Ladysmith Road, exit 110. We understand there's not a lot of business. There's some business there now, but we also know that's going to be a huge growth area. Unfortunately, which we'll talk about in a little bit, Walmart had announced they were coming and then they pulled back. But even with Walmart pulling back, we still feel like we need to expand that road for the future. Even though it's not there now, we know it's coming.
Yeah.
And it's zoned for that. And so that's a $26 million project, which the state is picking up $20 million of that $26 million. So we're only responsible for $6 million. And it's just, to us, it's a no-brainer, because if we don't do that, we'll never get an opportunity to do that again with that kind of share between the state and the local government.
And we've been trying to be financially responsible in that when we look at our budget at the end of the year, we're putting money aside toward that payment so we don't have to borrow as much when the construction actually begins. So it will easily pay for itself once we get some businesses out there.
Well, and to be able to look at it ahead of time like you have, you just have to look around here and you just have to look in Spotsylvania especially of where it's catch up. And when you're trying to catch up, you usually don't catch up.
And then piggybacking on what she said exactly, I mean, we almost have The first payment for it, we have two payments that we owe to VDOT, and the first payment's almost covered with some of we've been putting money in the bank, so the first of the two payments that we owe is actually almost completely covered.
Was it this summer? You got kind of got good news with the in the bond rating front.
Yes, we did. We got our first bond rating. We got a double A rating from Moody Investor Services and a double A from S&P Global Rating. I'm not sure how you read the Moody's. It's like a capital A, little
I know.
A too. I don't know exactly how you say that, but they're both good, and we were very pleased with that. And then I don't know how many people saw it, but there was also an article in the Freelance Star back in June where a study was done by Smart Asset, which is a financial technology company, and they ranked Caroline County 10th in the Commonwealth for how tax property uses, you know, the value you get for your taxes. And 34th in the nation. So we were just, I sort of felt like someone was saying, you're doing good, just keep hold of that checkbook and keep doing good. So.
Well, and then that rating is important because when you go to borrow money, you can get it cheaper. Isn't that how that's one of the important things.
Right. We're a good risk, and so they're willing to play nice with their interest rates, and we're just tickled with that, and I get staff and the board credit for that, but we have some really good people on staff, as I said.
And this was something that would not have happened probably, you know, even 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
And so it's a huge credit to our county administrator and staff, Mr. Cully, and staff going through and being fiscally responsible, and of course the Board of Supervisors as well. But Mr. Cully has done, our county administrator has done an excellent, excellent job for us.
Jeff Black here from Western Caroline. Nancy Long here from the Port Royal District. We're talking Caroline County this morning. We need to take a break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions. We've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking Caroline County this morning. Nancy Long's chairperson with the Board of Supervisors. Jeff Black here also from Western Caroline. And we're talking Caroline County and kind of the government things at the moment. It's almost budget time, Nancy, and I know it seems like now with local governments, I mean, it's budget time all the time.
It is. There's always unexpected things that come up, but we just deal with what we can as best we can. We were very fortunate with our budget. We are financially fairly sound, as we were talking. We got the bond rating. We were able to increase our budget, increased school budget by about 3.7% for their operating funds. And we also were able to give our staff a much well-deserved raise this past year. Well, we did do a study on that before we decided who got what raises, comparing to local salaries in the region so we could be competitive. And we're just trying to remember that if we watch our pennies, the dollars are going to take care of themselves.
Well, these are I know in recent years budgets for everybody it's tough because you're squeezed from the state and the federal government.
Right. When they make changes, a lot of times they don't think about who's paying for those changes in the long run, and it's very easy for it all to roll downhill to the local government level.
Caroline was one of the it may have been the first, because I can remember last year during the budget talks where you put you paid money for SROs in all the schools, and Spotsylvania followed suit, I think, after that. But I think you were I remember Caroline County when that first came up. That was that really was one of the first times it had been talked about.
Right, we had had two. Resource officers. We added three more this past year so that we had resource officers in all the schools. It seemed to be very important to the parents of course, some events in other areas of the country made everybody nervous. We also increased all our security in our schools,
mm-hmm.
you know, special locks, monitors, secured entrances. So I think parents rest easier knowing that we actually, and these are trained deputies. They're not just security guards.
Yeah.
These are a part of Sheriff Lippa's staff. They really are committed to being a friend to the students and having the students know that if they have an issue, they can come and talk to them.
Yeah. No, as we talk, sort of the overall theme this morning, it seems, I mean, Caroline County is, but you've taken very proactive approaches to a lot of things, and this was one of them, another one.
And I think that a lot of that is on the constituents too, because at budget time, when this came up, you know, it wasn't the budget for, you know, that we were going to expand by, you know, what, two mm-hmm. SROs. And then, you know, Sheriff Lippa came to us and said, look, I really need more than that to get one in every school. So the constituent, I got plenty of emails. I'm sure Nancy did too, as far as, you know, making sure that we had one for every school. So in addition to that, Sheriff Lippa got a grant to add one more, in addition, kind of like a, I think it's will be stationed at the alternative or over in a floating one too. So in case one is sick, they will have available an SRO available in all the schools.
You know, the deputies still have other duties. So yeah. If they're in court, we now have a resource officer who can cover for them when they're in court or if they're sick. And in the meantime, if everybody is on board, they are at the admit office and the other buildings that we have so that they can respond quickly to anything.
The Caroline Detention Center has been in the news. Is that the facility where some ICE people go to?
Right. That was the jail authority at one time. It was built against Caroline's wishes 20 some years ago, I believe. And it was a facility for beds for a lot of inmates from Northern Virginia, as well as Caroline had a couple of beds there, which I don't think we ever even used. I wasn't on the board at that time, but it was located in Caroline. When Northern Virginia groups started to pull out of the jail authority because they, due to changes, they didn't need the beds, didn't need to spend the money up there, it ended up just leaving Caroline County as the authority
mm-hmm.
with this building. So it needed to be put to use to continue to pay for the building, and it just so happened at that time with the immigration issue going on in the country right now that there was a need for a facility. I think it's a wonderful use for the building. That facility operated for years with no complaints, no issues. We were able to hire back a lot of the same staff, and it's a lovely facility, and they get meals, they have a library, they have post office, they have visitation day. It's clean, but yet it's secured. And it's going to certainly help us financially also.
And that was one of the concerns that, you know, we started in negotiations, and I think we can, with Homeland Security mm-hmm. on this, much before the immigration issue became.
Yeah.
And the immigration issue just happened to, like, it really kind of blew up in the news right around the same time mm-hmm. that we were getting ready to approve of it. And it was kind of bad luck on that front.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, for us, the building, the way the contract on the building reads is it was going to be turned back over to the state or even to the feds if we didn't have a use for it. And our concern was if we have control of our own destiny right now, if we turn it back over to the state and it gets turned back over to the feds, we don't know what they would use it for. We would have no control. It would be in Caroline County, and we would have no say. Would they make it a high security prison? Would they, you know, was it going to be used for, bringing in, you know, bad guys from around the world that, you know, would these type of people be in? We didn't know what the feds or the state had in mind with it. And we figured if we make this use of it, at least we control our own destiny.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And like you say, I mean, it's safe and secure and
easy to get to if somebody wants to come and visit them, mm-hmm. you know, right off of 301. it's a good financial investment for us. We it's a contract with ICE. We have, at the time, we get $7 per inmate a day. Of course, that's paying salaries and upkeep and capital improvements on the building, but there still will be some proceeds for us, of course. And the currently, I think there's 100 at the staff meeting. He said they're up to 180 and 110 employees. So it's also created 110 jobs.
Yeah. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're talking Caroline County this morning with Nancy Long and Jeff Black from the Board of Supervisors. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Polar Plunge. We're going to talk about drones and a few other things in Caroline County this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:29.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Our focus this morning is Caroline County. Nancy Long and Jeff Black from the Board of Supervisors here this morning. A lot of good Caroline County talk. I need to have you we'll have to do this a little. We'll do this more, just because it's nice to get your perspective and to be talking about things and a lot of these things that we just, in some cases, just see from afar. And to have you actually in talking about it is good. We're going to talk about.
We appreciate your time.
Yes, thank you for inviting us.
I'm glad to have you, and we will talk about a few more government things in a bit. But first of all, one of the reasons, really, Jeff, why I wanted to meet you was I saw you from afar last year at the Polar Bear Plunge. And I saw you from afar because it was so cold and I didn't want to go and meet. I wanted to just stay as find a place where there could be out of the wind. And it's in early February. It's a fundraiser and it is just a great event for Caroline County.
It's an awesome event. And it's something that is actually umbrellaed or basically run by the Ladysmith Brewerton Club, which I am a member of. And it was used to be, it's been around for a while. Wright's Chapel United Methodist Church ran it for a long time. And they kind of turned the reins over to us several years ago, and we've taken it. And there's a total of 15 organizations involved this year, up from we had 9 last year. So we're excited. And last year's plunge raised $17,000 for those 9 organizations. And it's there's so many aspects to it to break down. It's really just kind of a, it's almost like you're tailgating. It's a fun 2 to 3 hours there. Mm-hmm. The county administrator does music. There's a trophy that's given to the organization that raises the most money, and we call it the Polar Cup, and we engrave that organization's name on the trophy, and they get to keep it for a year, kind of like a Stanley Cup take. The Catholic Church, St. Mary's of the Annunciation Catholic Church in Ladysmith, has won the event the last 2 years, so they've got the trophy right now. But there's other organizations that are shooting for them this year, so it's really just a competition about raising money. So it's a great event.
Well, there's also too there. I know that people will dress up in costumes.
There is the Chairman Long last year. She they have judges. Yes, there's a costume contest, which is great. People dress a lot of times with a winter theme for it, and there's groups and individual costumes. Yes, it's that's part of the fun.
Well, one of the things that it's a great community event of where really just all parts of the community come together, and as cold as it was last year, there was a great feel to it, just because everyone has a good time with each other.
Right, and I mean it's that friendly atmosphere. I mean, there's food being sold, there's a raffle ticket. Some of the businesses in Caroline, I mean, one of the things that we owe a lot to is we owe a lot to the businesses. We had about over 40 corporate sponsors last year on the plunge. We're hopefully adding more this year. Like I said before, we're adding more organizations. So that part of it is the atmosphere is kind of electric. It's really people get in the, of course, the end of the event is the actual going in the water itself. But the money that is raised, the people that are plunging, these plungers, all their money is theirs. So when they come from the Catholic Church or the YMCA, or the Humane Society, if they get a plunger, the 100% of that money goes to that organization. So there's no overhead for that organization to, you know, besides a fee to enter, a small fee to enter, all that money stays with them.
Now, this year it's going to be, what, February 2nd?
February 2nd, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Lake Landor Beach. We're very thankful to the community of Lake Landor for giving us access to the beach. Of course, I said Ladysmith Raritan Club is the organization that's kind of runs the event. And then all the other organizations, we're pretty much final on the organizations. We have, I don't know if you mind if I listen.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
We have A Tale to Be Told, which is they help animals. Bowling Green Baptist Church is in, Caroline County Humane Society, Caroline's Promise, which helps the youth of Caroline. This is their first time in this year. The Caroline Recovery Center will be involved this year. The Caroline YMCA, County Line Baptist Church will be involved. Habitat for Humanity, of course, Jason Tickle has been here on this program. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Ladysmith Raritan Club, the Volunteer Fire Department, Ladysmith Volunteer Fire Department, Ladysmith Volunteer Rescue Squad, St. Mary's Catholic Church, and Wright's Chapel United Methodist Church are all involved. And each one of those organizations decides at the day of, you know, before the plunge, what that money is going to. It usually goes towards some sort of community outreach. The Catholic Church does it for their food bank. Wright's Chapel takes that money and they give it towards people who need heating assistance in the wintertime. Rehoboth gives it towards basically the same thing, their food bank. So each one of them have like a different thing that their money is going towards. And all these are great kind of they're great kind of events that they or organizations, the things that they're giving money to. So it's really something that makes us proud at the Ladysmith Raritan Club that we're involved in this. And then at the end, we take the corporate sponsorship money, the Ladysmith Raritan Club, mm-hmm. and you've seen some of the pictures, but if you go on the Facebook page, Ladysmith Raritan Club, what we do is we actually make it a competition. And the organizations that raise the most money, we gave seven organizations this year a $500 check towards whatever, like the food bank or whatever that they're giving their money towards. So not only do they get the money from the polar bear plunge, if they finish in the top seven out of the 15, you know, we will give them a $500 check.
But you talk about win-win kind of things.
It is.
This
it is.
Really, in just the basic level, is.
Yes, it's a really fun event.
And it gets, I think, all these organizations, it gets them fired up and involved. And the more that they work, the more they're gonna they can make for their organizations.
Yeah, the friendly competition really brings it. The friendly competition really brings it out. I mean, that's the part that's really fun. You probably felt that last year. The organizations, they're competing with one another as far as what did you have?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a fun part of it. And another thing that's really kind of a cool aspect of it, besides the trophy, is there's actually an award for people. I mean, one of the kind of the gags of the whole event is if you raise over $500, we give you a little silver plunger, like toilet plunger.
Yeah.
And then if you raise over $1,000, you get like a regular toilet plunger that's silver. And the person who raises the most money, the individual, actually gets a golden plunger. So, you know, toilet plunger. So it's kind of like a little gag thing. And they bring them up and have pictures.
Yeah.
So a really, really fun event.
When I first saw them there, I remember looking at them and thinking, those are toilet plungers, aren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
And it's those kind of things. It's a fun event.
Right,
it really, it at its core, is a fun event. But it is serious because they're raising a lot of money.
Right. It is, and we're hoping this year, our goal this year is to get over 20,000. So each year we're trying to get more organizations, trying to get more corporate sponsors. We feel if we can get more people involved in this, it'll just continue to grow and continually grow in both money and people involved. We really want people in Caroline. We're trying to keep it Caroline focused. We really want people in Caroline to see this and how the community is coming together to help those in need in Caroline County.
The Caroline County Polar Bear Plunge, it's February 2nd at Lake Landor there. Jeff Black from the Board of Supervisors here. Nancy Long also here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Okay, so what's it like when you actually go in the water in early February and it's generally cold? How's it feel?
It usually depends on the person you talk to, but a lot of times it's just you get so much adrenaline. going in. Yeah. And in some years, like last year, we were discussing just a minute ago, last year, the air temperature was actually colder than the water temperature. So it sounds weird to say 37, 38 degree water feels warm, but when the air temperature is in the 20s, it actually has that feeling. And most people jump in, dive in, and get out. And the one thing that's really nice that the Lake Landor does for us is they have a bonfire on the beach. So you can kind of warm up after. You know, a lot of people just rush out, but you can kind of warm up before and after. So it's a lot of people, they'll jump in and they get out pretty quickly.
It was the first time that I've seen in that kind of a setting. I've seen some polar plunges at City Dock that are run a little bit differently, a little bit staggered. But I was amazed at how quick it is because it's so cold. Everybody's in and out.
Yep. It the actual plunge itself probably lasts a total of 5 minutes, and then everyone is done. So that goes quickly.
And precautions are taken. There is a rescue squad there. There's the bonfire there to warm up. And everybody seems to have their little team with towels, blankets, ready to wrap them up when they come out. So that's nice. The other nice thing about the Polar Plunge is it's a great way for all these volunteer groups to utilize one day surrounded by other people who are trying to do good things to create something that's wonderful for everybody. And it's cold, but it's fun.
Oh, it is. And I, like you said, I would think too, you know, a lot of these nonprofits get to know one another, which is a good thing.
Absolutely. They do. And when we have meetings preparing for it, they also will kind of interact. And so that's a way for them to network. What are you doing correctly? Here's a fundraiser we do. The members of the Ladysmith Raritan Club have actually been invited to go over to other Raritan clubs to speak on how we run this particular fundraiser, because they're kind of interested in see how we do it. So that's a great thing for the community as well.
It was fun. I mean, I saw situations where you had entire families going in. Mm-hmm. And you and I talked off air about somebody helped another person who needed some help to plunge.
Right.
That was fun to see.
That was probably the highlight of the polar bear plunge last year, was that in particular, you know, situation. But yeah, we got plenty of pictures for it. As we'll talk about in a minute with drones, there's actually drones that film the people going in from the air.
Yeah.
So they people put video online. So all those things are really neat events. We try to bring in kind of celebrity judges to kind of judge the costume contest. Mm-hmm. You have the community involved. So all very, very neat thing that's run by the Ladysmith Raritan Club.
There's always when you have a situation like this, there always are those few people that are going to go in and go, oh, this isn't bad. Mm-hmm. And while everybody goes in and out, you know, they're standing there and you just watch and just shake your head.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, at the end, it's fun to see the reactions of all the different people. And there's been people that have been doing it. Going in the water for years and years and years. I mean, Major Mosier from the Sheriff's Office, he goes in for the Humane Society.
Yeah.
And it's an excitement that kind of builds, and people, if they've done it for a while, they love it.
And they even bring in the students, and that when we judge the costumes, which is a very fun thing, it's nothing serious, of course, it's very fun. I got to pair up with a high school student.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have two adult judges, and we have two high school students, and it's just a whole community, whole age group.
And the MC is the guy who kind of is the Bobby Hebert. I'm sure you know Mr. Hebert. He does a phenomenal job.
Yes, he does.
And he is kind of, he dresses in costume, and he does a phenomenal job. Just the energy he brings, and he is. He's crazy. And a good crazy. And it's fun. I mean, it's just the energy level by him. I mean, I don't know what we would do without him running that thing. And then, of course, our county administrator is the DJ for the music. And so we always have music that's like, for example, Van Halen's Jump or Ice Ice Baby, that's kind of polar or jumping related.
And that's also what makes it fun, because I like just the fact that you've got a county administrator who will do that. So often you've got county administrators, you only see them in a suit and a tie.
Right, right. He gets out involved. He loves it. He absolutely loves it. So we're very lucky and fortunate to have him.
I've never done a polar plunge before. Is there really is no way to really train for it. I mean, you just decide, I guess I'm going to do it, and you try to just get through it.
Yep.
Well, I'm sure Jeff could get you somebody to sponsor you.
If you want
to
go in with us this year, if you are more than welcome
Nancy,
to come in.
Stop. So let's not give people ideas here. Again, it's February the February 2nd.
Second, yep.
So is there any if people want to get involved?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess one of the ways to get involved is to sponsor. If you want to do that, or what are some ways people can help you out?
They can contact any of those organizations that I listed above. There's also a Facebook page, Caroline County Polar Bear Plunge. There's the Ladysmith Rorton page. They can also contact me through my county email if they want, and I'll get in touch with I'll get back in touch with them, see what organization is involved, because sometimes we have people that show up at the plunge, like last year, and they don't have an organization yet that they are, but they show up at the plunge and say, all right, hey, I want to, here's $100. I want to plunge for the Catholic Church. Hey, here's $100.
Okay.
I want to plunge. So people can actually show up the day of the event. The only thing that they need is, I think the minimum requirement is $50, and then they have to just say which one, which organization they want to give their money to, and then they just have to have a spotter. We require, as Nancy said earlier, we require a someone to watch you go in, because it is going into very, very cold water. So there is a little aspect of, hey, be careful. You know, it's going to be really cold. So we want to make sure that safety is involved. So everyone who comes into the plunge, not only do you have the plunger, but you also have a spotter to make sure that you not only go in, but you get out okay.
Yeah. If you go in, we want you to come back out.
Yeah, of course. Yes, you do. But it is. It's a great event for Caroline County, because it raises money. There's just the sense of community, and mm-hmm. I walked away from it and had a whole different. You know, you feel good about Caroline, mm-hmm. and you just. I remember in my drive home, just thinking, especially as I drove through Caroline, thinking this is really a nice community.
Yeah, it is. Thank you. We appreciate that.
It's a beautiful county. It really is. We're going to do our best to keep it that way.
Caroline County Polar Bear Plunge, that you can, like you said, there's the Facebook page, mm-hmm. will keep you all up mm-hmm. to date on information. Again, it's February 2nd, and we will talk about it here too as we get closer again and do some things. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We'll wrap it up with Jeff Black and Nancy Long from the Caroline County Board of Supervisors when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shuler.
Caroline County, our focus with Nancy Long and Jeff Black this morning. A lot of good stuff we've been talking about with Caroline County. Before we get out of here, Jeff, you were talking about with the polar bear plunge, how people take some drone footage, which I saw some of it. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. I know the fire department has got a drone program now.
Exactly. If you remember, several years ago, there was a tornado down in Essex County that did lots of damage, and drones are becoming more popular. So we started with one drone, which we've used to film our buildings and our schools, so if anything happens, we have a video as to what the structures look like.
Yeah.
And then of course for fire and rescue, for search and retrieve, of course our first outing was for someone that they thought was missing on the river, and it ended up he was really just enjoying a fishing day. He was not very happy at being found at his favorite fishing spot by the drone, but they found him. This year we've expanded. Now we've gone, we have a bigger drone, and this one is infrared. We're training several of our staff for infrared operations, so that if someone's lost at night or a senior wanders off, mm-hmm. We can find them and hopefully find them in time. So we're really excited about that. We've been trying to build up our fire rescue staff. We put on 3 new firefighter EMTs last year, and we're looking forward to in the future updating some of our fire stations. We'd like to eventually, we have one that we need to redo because of where it's located, and we're in discussions for another fire station. But fire rescue equipment is expensive. So we have a long-term plan for reaching our goals there. But the drones are wonderful, time-saving equipment for us to have, and I'm just very tickled that we have so many people trained on it. We also worked with the fire department, worked with other groups, and all our ninth graders at school, I was told yesterday at staff meeting, have now taken a CPR class. So we have all our ninth graders certified.
And you know, the other thing too is, and piggybacking on what Nancy said, they actually had this year, the Parks and Rec worked, our Parks and Rec department worked with the Fire and Rescue Department to actually have a fire camp. So kids who are interested in getting into the fire and rescue side of things for their career, they actually went to a camp over the summer, like a soccer camp would be.
Yeah.
And it was a fire and rescue camp where they got to see how everything works, and they got to hold higher fire hoses and do the different things that firefighters do. So, and there was a huge turnout for that.
Definitely want to repeat it
this year. We're definitely going to try to repeat that again. So it kind of gives kids an idea of like, hey, this is, you know, I mean, obviously you want kids being active.
Yeah.
But this is being active in a, you know, possible profession that they could get into.
All of a sudden you see that, who knows?
Right.
You got somebody, some kids right now in the county that may be returning someday as firefighters.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's certainly something that is needed. And all our staff are cross-trained, firefighter EMTs. So it's a great thing to give the students a chance, or the youth and the county a chance to see, is this my thing? Am I interested in this? Just like we have a program with Dean Martin for electronical work with our students.
Right, for MC Dean. The MC Dean actually does an apprenticeship with about 20 Caroline students per year, which they go through. And so that's kind of, they go through and then they're kind of certified getting out of high school, which is a huge advantage to someone that's, you know, some of these kids have to go into a trade school after, and these kids are in the trade school in the schools now. So that's that, they have a huge advantage, and MC Dean usually offers them, a few of them, a job, right? They get their diploma and they get a job.
So MC Dean, they get their diploma, they walk across the stage and they're there and they have an application for employment. They can go to work the next day.
Great stuff. The you were telling me the Caroline County, the Christmas parade in Bowling Green is next Saturday?
The 8th.
Yep. Saturday the 8th.
It's going to be a great day.
6 o'clock?
At the 5 o'clock, I believe.
5 o'clock. Because they're going to have a tree lighting this year also.
Okay. And we talked about, I told you about at the beginning, Nancy, about how Port Royal is one of my favorite places. Bowling Green, a close second. Just a great place to walk around and super town. Thank you both for coming.
Thank you.
Caroline County is a great place.
Much.
And great to talk to you. And Jeff, we will talk more about the polar bear plunge coming up.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Jeff Black, Nancy Long from the Caroline County
we
Board of Supervisors.
See you at
Thanks for
at
listening
the plunge.
To Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.